I'm out here in the sanctuary of the backyard, in the sanctuary state where I've gone to find sanctuary. Jeff Carlin likes me out here, at least at the beginning of these, to sit under the tree so you could pick up some sound ambiance, some natural sound. I don't know what. Can you tell the sound of a golden maple tree above my head or across the way? Can you hear the sound of the brilliantly dark purple maple tree that I see framed against the blue sky? I don't see any of the geese. Soon they'll be flying. The October winds will get cold. The winds will bring rain, and the rain will slant across your face like a Dylan Thomas poem. And another thing happens when the October winds and rain, they bring with them November, and November brings with it an election. National election, the midterm elections, and local elections. And another thing too, at least it did. Back in the day, November was a time for elections and circus. And you know what? I have a confession to make. I really hate the circus. I really hate it. I hates it. I hates it so bad. I can't stand the carnival barkers. And I can't stand the stupid clowns that run around in circles with their violent pie-in-the-face humor. And we're supposed to laugh. Once they got rid of Animal X and those were uncool. And I'm not going to pay circus prices to watch dog tricks, okay? I could teach Zeus. Hey, Zeus, you want a treat? Here. You want a treat? You want a treat? There you go. See? I don't have to pay to see that. He's a good boy. But you know, the carnival barker that I'm thinking of is J.B. Pritzker, governor of Illinois, and his mini-me clown, his little evil mini-me clown, Lori Lightfoot, and they're telling you not to pay attention. They don't want you to pay attention to the violence in Chicago or in Illinois. They don't want you to pay attention to education because kids aren't learning to read at grade level and they keep getting passed over, pushed through the system. And that adds to more violence and more chaos and more taxes. And they don't want you to think of any of this. All they want you to think of is anybody who's telling you to pay attention must be a racist. Anyone who tells you to pay attention must be an extremist. Yeah, that's it. That's it, JB. But to break it all down for us, to break down the complete collapse of Illinois education, public education, where kids don't read anywhere close to where they should be reading in grade level, and where they don't do math at grade level, is Ted Dabrowski of wirepoints.org with a new report on the failure of Illinois public education. And he's also been out front on the Safety Act, too, which is not safe and which will create even more violence. As Ted talks about it, I want you to remember who's telling you what and who tells you not to pay attention and why. And Jeff Carlin is here. Jeff Carlin is here as always. Co-host here on the Chicago Way podcast. My friend, future physics teacher, great WGN radio producer, executive producer, master of pies, friend of cats. And I'm John Cass, husband, father, Greek Orthodox Christian, editor-in-chief of your favorite website, johncassnews.com. And where are you? As the evil clown and the big fat carnival barker with the media megaphone in front of his face telling you not to pay attention to the crime and the violence and the failed public education or the taxes that you're paying for all these failures? You're on the Chicago Way podcast with Ted Dabrowski, Jeff Carlin, and me, John Cass. in the No Trombone Zone on WGN Plus.
Look, the Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago Way.
The Chicago Way. That's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river, Castle.
Well, everyone, I told you that Ted Dabrowski of LawyerPoints.org is here in the No Trombone Zone of the Chicago Way podcast. Welcome, Ted.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Chicago Way.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
And as noted, we John's dealing with this. A minor technical issue, as the world will tell us, that things can never go smoothly. But Ted, we wanted to bring you on here because it's crunch time as far as elections go and such. And I cannot handle Governor Pritzker just, you know, bloviating about how great things are and how good of a job he's doing and how great the state is. We've raised our crappy rating from the basement to the floor below the basement, whatever that is, or above the basement, whatever that is. And our education system, he's touting all these great things he's doing to bring teachers in, which is he's trying, but it's not working. And that's why you're here, Ted, to give us the real facts, the real numbers. It's just, where do you see things sitting right now, Ted, as we kind of step towards the last 2 weeks of voting thinking time before the election happens?
Yeah, you know, I think this is one of those perfect examples of, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? Mm-hmm. It really does fit Illinois, although there's this kind of mess of the $200 billion in COVID aid that flowed to the private and public sectors in Illinois for the last 2.5 years. It's kind of muddied things up. Mm. But, you know, you're right. Governor Pritzker is out there, you know, saying what a great job he's done. And, you know, it's something he's pretty good at. He's pretty good at mm-hmm. staying positive, you know, painting a good picture. But for me, I that's what I find most objectionable about Governor Pritzker. You know, Illinois is ranked 50th in so many things. Last place, you know, we put out a piece, last place. We came in last place on unemployment. We have the highest unemployment rate in the country as of September.
And that was published by the Euro. States, too, right? States around us, we're way behind that. Not way behind.
Oh, way behind. Yeah. You know,
so you can take it regionally. I mean, I can see some of the states that are producing, I don't know, COVID mess or whatever happening, you know, during the past pandemic times and stuff, having a huge benefit. But and the kicker to that, in my opinion, Ted, is that our state has so heavily, I mean, what is it? The majority of the biggest the employer in our state is the public system. So, you know, those people weren't getting laid off and fired during.
Oh, geez.
No. So if you take that into account, then it's an even smaller subset that is not getting any jobs because all the jobs are going to the private sector or the public sector rather. So it's just compounding it.
Yeah, and that's right. And so we're in last place. And yet he, you know, what's objectionable is that he refuses to acknowledge the problems that Illinois has. Yeah. And we've got massive problems. And so it's a dishonesty of mm-hmm. major proportions. And, you know, we could go through the list and we shouldn't, or maybe we will, but the list is long.
Well, let's go over somebody complaining.
Yeah.
Let's go over a couple of them now. So people we have a basis, you know, like as Archimedes said, give me a place to stand and I shall move the earth. We'll give Ted Dabrowski a place to stand and he shall move your opinion.
So which ones do you want to start with?
What are the three most important, you know, list of threes? What are the three most important issues?
Well, there's three most important to me when I think sure. about structurally. Yeah. It's education, crime,
yes.
Education, crime, and taxes. And all right. of those were a disaster. We could start with education because we've gotten a lot of attention for the stuff we've done.
Yeah.
And it's really sad because if you're talking about the future of a state, your education better be good. Or said differently, if your education is really, really bad, then you're in big, big trouble because your workforce won't be able to do anything in the future.
Well, you have information coming out on wirepoint.org, so tell us about it.
Well, yeah. So you know, this all started a few months ago. We wrote a big report about geez, how many kids couldn't read in Illinois. We had done originally the fact that Lori Lightfoot was bragging about graduation rates hitting a record of 84%. And yet we looked at the reading data for 11th graders, you know, who become seniors the next year, and only 26% of them could read at grade level. And, you know, and it was far worse if you looked at Blacks and Hispanics. That was the average. And so we said, what the heck is that? Well, anyway, that got a lot of attention nationally when we wrote about that. Mm-hmm. But we ended up doing a radio interview on WJPF in Decatur. And so as I was preparing for that, I went into the State Board of Education report card and I looked up, well, let's look at Decatur's reading results. What did they look like? And I saw in the third grade, which is the most important grade, third grade, only 2% of Black children could read at grade level. And I said, that has to be wrong. So then I popped over to the math results, and it was only 1% of Black kids could do math at grade level. And so that opened up a whole can of worms. And we wrote a big report on it. And the Wall Street Journal just wrote about it like 3 or 4 weeks ago, a really, really, you know, scathing report about Illinois. And Governor Pritzker didn't like it. And instead of acknowledging the results, the bad results, he called us names in the debate with Darren Bailey. He called us carnival barkers. And
he loved that carnival barker thing.
Yeah.
Like come see the fat man, eat another cheeseburger. What, you know,
right?
Like state fair thing, like a state fair, like geek show.
Right. And he looks in his fancy suits. He looks like the guy who's standing outside the tent trying to call. I mean, if anybody is a carnival barker, it's the Captain Big Suits there.
Come on, sir. They're all virgins. They're all.
Oh, God. Yeah,
come on.
Oh, God. Right. So, Ted, compare us to, like, I don't know, Wisconsin or the Midwest in general. I mean, are we dead last and everything? Because I've seen this and I've been interviewing. I'm working on a degree to try to go to become a teacher. And I've been interviewing teachers and talking to teachers within CPS and the suburbs. And I have to say that in Chicago, it certainly feels like there's a pass them if they're breathing kind of mentality in the school system. So that 84% graduation number, you know, is complete crap. I mean, Lori can say that either she knows the facts, which I doubt she does, because I'm sure the people under her are just blowing smoke up her ass. It's abysmal. Then she's a liar and she's even worse than we thought. But my point being is that this idea, like you're saying, rub it on the rug. No one will see it. You know, we've got the smoke and mirrors kind of thing going in front of us with the likes of Lori Lightfoot and Pritzker. What are the numbers really showing us comparatively? Because I think that's the important thing, is to see how we're doing compared to the rest of the country.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole bunch to it. You know, my first immediate response is, you know, it's not a good response, but I don't care what's happening to the rest of the country. Mm-hmm. You know, when I look at Mount Vernon, 0% of those third grade Black kids can read at grade level, zero. And I mentioned Decatur, 2%. In Rockford, it's 7. In Elgin, 11% of Hispanic kids can read at grade level. And I can go on and on. Peoria, 8% of Black kids. And you know, in Waukegan, it's, 16% of Hispanic kids. It's horrible. It's bad.
I bet all of them and their teachers can recognize two words: systemic racism.
Yeah.
And they can talk for a long time about that, because that's what they're being taught, that political garbage about the 6019 project. They're not being taught to read and write and figure.
Well, I mean, it's not, I mean, that's true to a point, John, but it's, and anecdotally, but the bigger picture is that the idea that education has shifted to this, the idea of like socially emotional learning, to make sure the student, not just they know that are the facts and they can read, it's, are they healthy mentally? That's the shift we've seen in the last, 20, 25 years. And one of the downsides of it is the fact that, you're not teaching students to achieve, you're teaching students to live and be and hopefully be good, happy people. But good, happy people still need jobs, and good, happy people still need to create things and do things and be productive members of society. And it's this stuff, John, that you and I talk about all the time, this idea that, well, we see a problem, i.e. racism that's happening, or du jour racism that's impacting people. And we have to fix it. Right. And then there's a whip around. It's like the crime. Well, the crimes is affecting black people. The prison system is affecting black people more than brown people, more than white people. Let's just throw it all out. Nobody goes to jail and nothing bad. This is what we're seeing.
Especially the black and brown people that commit violent crimes. Nobody go to jail. And then everybody vote for Kim Fox and Tony Preckwinkle and Lori Lightfoot.
Right. And it's those people that keep telling us that look, we're doing these great things. These kids are well adjusted. Okay, but they're well adjusted and they're going to be living out on the street and sucking on the government teat. So, it's all BS. And Ted, you're right. I mean, the idea of what's important? Sure, kids can read, kids can do the things, the kids are happy, right? And obviously what other states are doing is different, but where does it show us the discrepancies? Because we're spending a lot of money on these kids in the state. What's going on there, Ted?
Well, yeah, let's do a little bit of comparison now, because we can't avoid comparisons. And, depending on what you look at, we have some pretty in relative terms now. We would all argue that education overall in America has gone way down for all the things you just said, Jeff and John. We're focused on the wrong things. We're not teaching them how to read, write, and science. But that said, it's important to look at how much money we spend. And, we've written a lot about this. We spend the eighth most in the country per student. When you add up federal, local, and state dollars, we spend the eighth most. We spend 70% more. So we spend about 16,000 something per student. Mm-hmm. And these are like-for-like comparisons coming from the U.S. Census. Florida spends under 10,000. Right. So that's more than $6,000 difference. Mm-hmm. And yet their results are either as good or better than ours. And it's almost the same story for Indiana. They spend about 60% less than we do. And yet they do about the same or better than we do. So, we're throwing away tons of tax dollars. Again, that comes back into pensions and all that. But we spend tons of money, and yet you don't see it in the results. And as a matter of fact, we talk about all these districts I just talked about. You don't see any results. It's failure. Who cares if we're doing better than Baltimore?
What are parents and taxpayers supposed to do if in Illinois? I guess you could be like me and just leave, because I left. Yeah. Or I just couldn't. I couldn't take it. Or you could stay and fight and then do what? I'll fight how?
Yeah, so they make it really hard to fight. And this is part of what that Wall Street Journal editorial on our research, they said that Illinois is hiding what's happening. And here's how they hide it. And it's really, really scary. So first of all, as Jeff mentioned, they just promote, it's called social promotion. It doesn't matter if the kids can read. You move them to the next grade and just keep going all the way through the system. And so most parents think the kids are fine. Okay, they made it to the next grade, right? They didn't fail. That's good. Then they have, the graduation rate, 80% of kids graduate or whatever it is. So,
wonderful. Okay, the kids,
wonderful. Then you look at, and this is the one that's really taken me off, is that you look at teacher evaluations. And across the state, teachers are evaluated across, on average, 97% of them are proficient or excellent. And in 2021, at CPS, 100% of teachers were proficient or excellent. Despite the fact that only 11% of black kids could read at grade level, and only 17% of Hispanics could read at grade level in the entire system, right. And yet 100% were proficient or excellent.
Is that the teacher's fault? I mean, I'm just speaking as
the
father, and the father, and I'm just speaking as the father and husband of dedicated teachers.
Based on what
teacher's fault.
Based on, I want to get your Ted's direction to that too, but based on what I've seen and what I've just in teaching and learning from people who are telling me what's going on, they tell me that it's administrators, it's principals, it's up the food chain. And Ted, you could speak to that. I mean, we've got the most administrators of any state by far for our education system. We've got so many school districts, we don't even know what to do with all our school districts. And it's that idea that they tell you, well, if you jump through X, Y, and Z hoop for these kids, you're doing what I'm asking. You're proficient.
And that's what we covered in the whole report. We added it all together because you got to throw in their pensions. You got to throw in the administrative bloat that's just been incredible. And the only conclusion you can reach is it's become an unfixable system. It's basically an education industrial complex. Yeah. And everybody is benefiting from it. It's become effectively a massive jobs program. Mm-hmm. And again, this is not to belittle any particular person. It's a system, and it's a jobs program and a daycare center for many places. And it's a sad thing to say. I don't mean to be nasty when I say it, although it's a nasty comment, but everybody's living off of that system. Nobody wants to upset the apple cart. And so it continues. And that's why the kids get promoted. The kids graduate, people get their pensions, and everybody's happy. Quote.
I have an observation to make. May I make one?
John.
Thank you. The function, the reason why you have so many administrators in the schools doing all these, for lack of a better word, evil programs or evil bad things, is that there's no competition for those jobs, and they are strictly the functionaries of the Illinois legislature, particularly in Chicago. It is a province of the Illinois Black Caucus, the Legislative Black Caucus, the administrators in the Chicago Public Schools. And you couple that and that lack of urgency to educate with the Safety Act, which is creating even more uncertainty as to public safety, and pushing against following the law and putting people in jail who are violent. And what you have is destruction of a state and a city, and all of it is circling the drain while states around us, Indiana, Wisconsin, et cetera, around Illinois, and I'm an outlander now, those states are prospering, but Illinois is not prospering. And I, again, point to these two things, the Safety Act and the lack of competition in schools, in public schools. Yes? No? Thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's a great transition to crime. Let me tie those together real quick.
Yeah,
we're talking about Decatur. We're talking about Rockford. We've done a good bit of studying on Rockford, and the situation is deeply disturbing. We looked at the unwed births rate in Decatur, and it's 90% of black births are now out of wedlock, and for whites it's 54%. 54% of births are now for whites are out of wedlock. It's so you see, when you look at the public schools putting out, they have 8,800 kids in the Decatur public schools. So, each year, I don't know, whatever it is, 700 kids are coming into the workforce. Over a 10-year cycle, you're putting in a whole bunch of people into the workforce. And yet we just talked about the results. At grade 11 for black students, and they're the majority of the kids in Decatur, the reading results are 5% can read at grade level. Tie that in with the unwed births, tie that in. Now let's move to crime. How do you avoid crime when you have a very uneducated, poor workforce? And it's not just Decatur. It's the same thing for Rockford. It's the same thing for other cities in Illinois. That's the big challenge now. And unless we want to talk about it, nobody wants to talk about it. When we wrote about unwed births, people, want to call you racist and all that. But if we don't talk about that issue, what is going to happen with these cities? Like some people are saying, the end of mankind. What are we going to do in cities like that?
You're right. It's interesting too, and that's a point I wanted to make too, Ted, to you, is that you're pointing out data points. I mean, this isn't, well, I think the black people are not having, this is a hard raw data, and it's unfiltered data like we see in all, unlike we see in all these stupid polls that come out and everyone says, people want J.B. Pritzker to be king or whatever. It's raw, and it's a point that we needed to talk about. I mean, the idea people want to make it a racist thing, it's not. It's just that's just the characteristic that lumps people together. This is a systematic failure. And John, you were going to talk about the Safety Act too, but the Safety Act is not going to fix any of these problems. In fact, it's going to exacerbate them because it's going to lower the risk reward scenario for committing violent acts or crime, because you're not going to go to spend a night in jail or who scouts might say.
It's obvious that you're laying out the groundwork for why I've become a conservative politically. the destruction. Well, because I care about my friends and neighbors,
yeah.
And I care about how they're living. The destruction of the family through the welfare state, destroying the black family, and now, for lack of a better term, the Latino and white family. Those kids are being destroyed because they don't have a father to live at home, because the father, government becomes the father. And then you have the lack of education, where mom is overwhelmed in her setting, and the city, the public education is all about you know, social welfare, social issues, not education.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the fact that these kids can't get a job or can't prosper economically, because I'd say 90% of them can't define the word functionally illiterate to get out of high school.
Right.
And so what happens? We have the Safety Act.
Right. Well, so, you know, we'll have more crime, and yet we'll pass the Safety Act to prosecute fewer because we have more crime. And so it's which makes things worse. And, you know, you can't put together, you know, a more cohesive set of failed policies to chase more and more people out of Illinois.
Well, that's the kicker, right? I mean, we want to get to Amendment 1 here, but this is the whole idea, is that you've made it completely distasteful to want to come here and create a business or try to, you know, grow a business. If one, your workforce is way below average, if the average even matters, but they're way below that. Two, crime is questionable. Hey, now I gotta raise my insurance rate, because if every store is on the hook for $5,000 out of, you know, if we get robbed, because we're not going to get any of that back because we're not going to prosecute it. Oh yeah, and by the way, we have to pay incredibly high taxes to pay for all the people running all these programs and that are making everything terrible. So how can this, why not come to Illinois to grow up your business?
You know, I don't like to make, you know, I don't like to make hyperbole of like one company leaving, right? So if Boeing leaves, okay, right. One company can have the reason.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, when you lose Boeing and Caterpillar and Citadel and then Tyson, and you know, this is Chicago. Right. This is sixth largest state in the country. Chicago is, you know, amazing for all the reasons we know, not for the reasons we were talking about, but you know, and when big companies like that start leaving and they're worried about the very things we're talking about, it should be a signal. And Governor Pritzker and again Lightfoot, they don't want to, you know, this is the problem. They don't want to acknowledge problems. They've got to hide from them, and it only makes things worse. You know, that's it.
And how is this? Go ahead, John. Take it.
In the Safety Act, let's get specific. I hear a lot of screaming. Besides, you know, you're a racist, John Cass. Right. Besides that screaming, I hear screaming that the Democrats, who are Democratic state's attorney, who are telling us that these crimes will be people charged with these crimes will be let out of jail. That all these crimes are wrong. That Pritzker tells us it's wrong. It's a lie. It doesn't exist. What does your research tell you about aggravated battery and other crimes that may or may not not be punished, or at least not punished immediately?
You know, I was very bothered by all that when it came out, because you know, you're starting to hear a lot of big claims on both sides, right? And they're, both sides were very hyperbolic. So we got ticked off, you know, Matt Rosenberg, myself, John Klingner, you know, Mark Lennon, we all said, man, we got to get deeper into this because it's too confusing. And the law is very confusing. So we actually went and grabbed the, John Klingner and I grabbed the bail part, and we had to read it over and over. Oh. It's very poorly written, right? You know, and anytime you throw together these laws in the middle of the night, they're all horse trading and adding in clauses, and who cares if they match the other section, right?
Right.
We'll figure that out later. Mm-hmm. And so, man, we had to go through it, and we had to keep calling people and say, wait, what's the interpretation here? And it took us a long time, but we finally wrote, you know, these six major flaws. And damn, you know, Pritzker's absolutely wrong. I mean, he's, you know, and I'm trying to be really quantitative about this, but you know, bottom line is this: we go from a a system where there's three ways to handle alleged criminals. One is to hold them, detain them if they do something really wrong.
Right.
Two is to give them a set amount of bail and see if, and manage them that way. And I'll explain that in a minute. Or three, you just let them go on their own recognizance. So we have three ways of managing it. To under the Safety Act, there's only two ways: you either hold them or you let them go. So now you don't have this bail thing that kind of, they'd be able to get out if they meet the bail, but they'd lose a lot of money if they do something wrong. They have a lot of incentive to come back to court, and they have a lot of incentive not to go bother somebody that some victim of theirs. And we strip that away from the judges, and so you end up with a system where we detain very few crimes. Yeah. And it makes it really hard to detain people because that's what they want. And they want to make it really hard to detain some pretty nasty crimes. And we end up letting a lot of people just go out, see what happens. So it's
so what are the crimes? What are the crimes where people under this act, under the Pritzker Safety Act, will walk? What are the crimes? Do we have a list of them?
Well, is that list that you keep hearing on the radio and in the news? Yeah, arson and aggravated battery and all those are ones where, okay, to be fair, those crimes, those people can be detained, but under one very difficult thing to meet. You have to prove that there's willful flight.
Right.
And it's almost impossible to.
Or identify a specific individual.
No, that's for different ones, actually. So this is where it gets really messy. Okay. This is where it gets really messy. Oh, yeah, geez. So there's certain crimes where you have to find the specific person, and that would be like a stalking crime, for example, mm-hmm. and some others. But the crimes that John's talking about, those arson, yeah. second-degree murder and all that, you can only detain those people if you can prove willful flight. But to prove willful flight, you have to find something that says, I plan on fleeing tomorrow on a bus at right. 10 a.m.
Here's my
ticket. Right.
What will happen then to the state when, because we're going to have issues where people who should have been put in jail get out and commit violence, right? This will happen, correct?
Well, it's happening in Cook County right now, right? So we have a mini version of that. And my colleague Matt's writing a piece on that now. Kind of saying, if you want to see what Illinois will look like, take a look at Cook County.
Right.
Right. Because they've already done a lot of that stuff.
It would be the list of the, number 50 on the CWB list of Chicago.
Yeah.
Those who've been charged with arson. I mean, killing or trying to kill or shooting or trying to shoot while released on bail for other offenses.
Right. They're already out on it.
We're talking about. Is that what we're saying? It's happening all the time.
Yes. Yeah. That's one, but it's even worse than that because there's other crimes which aren't even detainable at all. And that are aggressive. And these are some of these class four felonies, like an aggravated DUI. There's certain ones of aggravated DUI where under current law, a person could be held, but going forward, there's no way to hold them. And that's it. So you're going to have, and I think there's a big confusion about this, this violent crimes and nonviolent crimes. There's a lot of crimes that maybe weren't violent, but could have been violent had somebody been in the house, for example, while it's being robbed.
It didn't turn out worse than it could be. There is some efforting, John, that's your favorite word. To alter some of the language of this bill and kind of correct some of these issues. And we hope to talk to some of the people, and we have talked to some of the people who are on that task.
That's not good enough.
Well, it's not good enough. No,
that's not good enough. Don't try to clean it up after the election.
Promises. They're talking about it now. They're working now. I mean, but it goes back to what we've talked about ad nauseum here, is the idea that the system is so messed up that we have a bill that is completely unintelligible. And that if you were in charge of a county for writing out policies and pragmatic ways to deal with it come January 1, it's impossible. As Ted was saying, explaining it, you can't even get through it without it making contradictory statements to itself. And I just want to acknowledge that these fixes are trying to be made. And we hope to have some of those people on board. And we have. We're trying to get to that point. But like you said, it's really more of a de jure nature than a de facto nature in Chicago right now. And we can see the impact.
Yeah, you know, I think what kind of proves it true is that there's a Democrat from Champaign, Scott Bennett, state senator, and he's proposed a law, and he's doing a lot of the fixes that we're talking about. So at least there's somebody, you know, bringing to light the fact that on the other side who's saying, okay, we better fix a lot of the things I just mentioned that's been mentioned. But I think to John's point is it's more appropriate, I think, in this case, and this is Illinois, we should just cancel the law and start.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen because
it's not. But that's the message. I mean, I think that's the message because you know what we'll do? We'll just do it just like all this education bills and pension bills.
Right.
We'll tweak it and it'll still be the horrible thing that it is, just less horrible or, you know, maybe fixed a little bit. But
it will have less bad. Yeah, right. It'll be just a little less worse than it was.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just like everything else we do in Illinois. That's why when I speak about it, I say, you know, I was trying to think, okay, can we tweak this and fix that? No, because it traps us into keeping something bad, and they'll go out and celebrate that they fixed it.
Right.
That's what typically happens.
False win. And it's that idea too, that this mentality where, you know, Pritzker can come out and, you know, admonish you guys for reporting or rip a Darren Bailey for trying to criticize the way things are. And it's, because you say, but Pritchard says, well, those aren't true. That's not true. Those people aren't going to be locked up. They're released. You know, we don't know that. That's not true. Yeah, you don't know that. Nobody knows that because it's so messed up. But we know it's not going to work the way you want it to work or even thought about it working.
Ted and Jeff, I'm sorry, but I hope you both and everyone listening to this will remember during the mayoral election, the campaign that has already begun. And it ends, I guess, in February and then in April. Hmm. During that period, there will be people who are going to be hurt by those who have been let out under the Safety Act.
Yeah.
And how are we going to cover it? And how are we going to discuss it when those lives have been destroyed? Are we going to say, oh, I'm sorry. Will the Democrats go, oh, here, tweet. Here's the tweet, thoughts and prayers, sorry.
Yeah.
Is that what they're going to do?
Yeah. No. We discussed with students and criminals and everybody that it's, just ignore it, get a good headline, and move on.
Well, you know, this is why I think
this is going to happen.
You know, this is a big issue that I think it's also drawing Democrats in. And, you know, everybody's heard the numbers, 100 out of 102 states' attorneys oppose the Safety Act, or certainly the large parts of the cash bail. And there's 50 lawsuits or more. Some of them are Democrats. So it's something, you know, one of those rare cases where both sides are coming together on something, which is a little bit unusual in Illinois.
Yes. If it's not cheese and sports teams, we're kind of separated here. Well, Ted, I know I love talking with you because you bring the facts, you bring the receipts, as the kids say. So it's always good to get you on here. But you've got this piece, and we started with education. I know we've talked the Amendment 1, which I want to get your quick like elevator pitch why it's bad before we let you go, and then I want to talk to us a little bit about education report you got up. But give
That's
it to
right.
me.
We forgot about Amendment 1.
Well, I know, right?
Yeah, it's you know, the only way I can say it is it's this is like the perfect gift from you know, 50 years of politicians working
right.
to take care of their public sector support group, right? Because this, right. it's been the government unions who support the politicians and vice versa. So this is the perfect gift where the powers that they've worked to build in Illinois, and we've talked about these government union powers. All you have to do is look at Chicago Teachers Union and look at their powers and how they yield it. All those powers would be put into the Illinois Constitution. They'd be cemented in there, enshrined in the Constitution. And effectively, we would lock in what I call two classes of workers in Illinois. And this is what Amendment 1 does. It enshrines this, you know, protected class of government workers with their guaranteed pensions, guaranteed labor contracts, guaranteed raises, all the benefits they get. And that would be the first class. And it would force the second class, which are private sector workers who don't get any such benefits. They don't get any of those protections. And yet they'd have to pay more and more for that first class. So it's empowering these government unions in a way that nobody in the country has ever done. And if you think that's good for Illinois, then go for it.
And I'll say,
what will happen? What will happen as a result of this empowerment? Because we were on a path to go for some sort of right to work, and at least not in the public sector, but at least in the private sector.
Right.
Now what?
Well, so right to work would be blocked, right? So all of our neighbors except for Missouri are already right to work. And so the big clear thing of this amendment is it blocks right to work in the amendment, in the Constitution. So we would never give our private sector workers the freedom of whether to join a union or not in order to work. So right. That would be banned. And that's what gets most of the attention, John. But the bigger part is all these rights. The bigger part of this whole amendment is all these rights and powers that it gives the public sector unions, the government unions. That's the part that's the scariest, because once we give them even more negotiating powers, there's no way we'll ever, ever bring down property taxes, ever. And they'll only go up, and they'll go up even faster because I'll have more rights to negotiate. And two, if you're worried about parents' rights, so think about these government unions putting into their collective bargaining agreements, you know, sex ed classes for kindergartens or, you know, demanding vaccinations before they'll go into the classroom. They'll have the power to negotiate those things. And if those are granted by weak school boards, there will be nothing that the parents or the legislature can do about it, because the amendment says no laws shall be passed to weaken or diminish the powers of the unions to negotiate. So it's a nail in the coffin.
And the kicker to me is, well, then, okay, well, that's the change you guys are purporting or want to change or whatever. That's true. It's democracy. We can do that. We can present things. Well, let's debate it. Let's see what you're trying to fix. Well, what problem are you trying to fix? Oh, well, you could have a situation where, okay, well, then let's look at the situation we have currently where our schools suck and we're paying too much for it. That's not important. Like, that's their mentality. And that's what kills me. It's this idea that, look, we got here. And that's one of the things. And again, John and I have talked about this before. I don't carry a banner for any party. It's not me. I don't care. I'm the individual. I vote the way I want to vote for my best interests. This is insane that people think that the Democrats have been ruling the state for so long and it's in a terrible situation. And Darren Bailey kept making this point, like, give us a shot. And we had Dan Proft on a few weeks ago. Give us a shot. And us being the Conservative Party. This is inane to me that anybody would be like, oh, I trust what J.B. Pritzker is telling me. He seems like an honest guy who takes out toilets from houses to save taxes and blames his wife. So he must be the guy to fix the state's quote unquote problems. But the problems don't exist the way they tell you. They tell you the problems are, you know, we're not nice enough to certain groups, or we're not protecting or raising up other groups, all this other stuff. And you want to say, okay, well, then what are we going to do about it? And they say, well, trust us again. We've got a fix for you. Come on.
Yeah, it's we're stuck in a one way path right now. And it's hard to see us getting out of it. Maybe there's enough of a red wave to change things. And again, like you said, this isn't about political party, but, you know, we've got domination by one party right now that's passing things like the Safety Act and the Amendment 1. They're the ones pushing all that. Those are all extreme things. You know, if the Safety Act is the most extreme bail reform in the country.
Yeah.
The Amendment 1 is the most extreme push for government powers into the Constitution ever. And they both go counter to what, you know, well, let's call it freedom, let's call it whatever, sure. But they go counter to having a functioning state.
Absolutely. And John, I mean, we were wrapping up kind of the conversation on the Amendment 1 and how it goes hand in hand with safety of just being so, you know, they don't fix anything and they create more problems and they fix these thought processes, these big thought thinking, you know, oh, this is what the world needs. And they're completely out of touch with the reality that we've laid out here, that the schools suck, the employment isn't working, and the unions have too much power and they're trying to steal more. And so I don't understand how anybody could listen to this podcast and walk away and say, you know what, I really think the Democrats are doing an okay job. I mean, I couldn't even say a good job at this point.
Well, that's not the Democratic Party that I remember, not my grandfather's Democratic Party. This is a different deal. This is a different deal, and it's all about the destruction of institutions for the party's power.
Yeah.
Well, it's very Orwellian. and Ted Dabrowski, Matt Rosenberg, who's no, you know, I don't think of Matt Rosenberg as some rabid
right
winger.
No.
Or you or anybody, most people I know. Common sense people. They see these interests growing at their expense, yeah, and no one says anything because, you know, the papers don't say anything because they don't want to be opposed to the status quo, the power.
Mm-hmm.
And people like, that's why we rely on people like Ted Dabrowski and Nutrient Neighbors and also wirepoints.org,
yeah,
to offer us a different perspective because we need it.
And to that point, as this goes up and people are enjoying this, Ted, you guys have something up on education that's even deeper and probably more eye-opening than the stuff you've already put out so far this year. What do you got for us?
Well, you know, the 2019 education report, you know, showed how bad things were, but, you know, just when you thought things couldn't get worse, right? along comes the most draconian school policies probably in the country, the school shutdowns, the remote learning. You know, there's a study done that our kids in Illinois were only in school 37% of the time during COVID, which was ranked 43rd in the country. So there were, you know, seven states that did worse than us. And so we looked at the results, what happened during these past 2 years, and it's phenomenal how bad the reading results and the math results got. And, you know, a lot of that was just, you know, keeping kids out of school. And they, you know, I had kids and they were sitting around at home on iPads, not really paying attention, et cetera, et cetera. And, mm-hmm. and next thing you know, you get a collapse in reading results and math results. Virtually, you know, 60%, yeah, it's like more than half of all school districts in the state saw their reading and math proficiencies drop by 20% or more. So it's an ugly report. But it should be a reminder that when bureaucrats take control and make such big decisions like that, they're destroying, you know, not just our children, but you know, our economic future.
It's this is the thing that keeps echoing with me lately, is that the Democrats in this state, and maybe I'm late to the party on this understanding, but only care about the headlines, and it doesn't matter any other way. It doesn't matter the end result. It doesn't matter proof, it doesn't matter logic, it doesn't matter ethically being sound. It just matters, will they get somebody somewhere to put out a headline that says, Democrats save the day. Yeah. And that's all it is. And it's such a disgrace to this country as far as what we're founded on, the idea of one vote, one representation, and the idea that, you know, the greater good is our ultimate goal, right? Well, the greater good is not being served in this state. The greater pockets of those with names of Pritzker are laid hefty with cash. That's coming from us. And
this is Jeff. This is an amazing thing that just happened. You know, people know where I stand and where I've stood for years because mm-hmm. I didn't hide it. I said it in mm-hmm. my column at the paper and now at John Cass News. And Ted Dabrowski leaned that way a little bit because in his former life, he was an expert on finances and municipal finance. And he could see where the money was being spent. And he began to ask why are we spending this? But here's you, Jeff, after a brief exposure to Ted Dabrowski, You're the font of I'm waiting for you to start selling the road to serfdom on the street corner of Chicago.
There you go.
Well, we were Chumbalones, John. We were born in the serfdom. Come on.
We are Chumbalones. We are not. This is no Chumbalone zone.
Yeah.
Let's get our marketing.
We were Chumbalones. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, we were. Now we can see.
Well, Ted. Because Ted and again this idea that the numbers don't lie, and you can make the numbers lie, but if you look at them raw and through a clean focus like Ted, which is, thank you for that, Ted, for I can't imagine it. You must enjoy it, so I'll give you that, but I can't imagine it's the most it can't be good for your eye health, let's say that, going through all this stuff.
But no, I don't enjoy it. I don't like doing this. You know, it's kind of funny. We end up doing the same reports, you know, 10 years later,
right.
Just add a zero. If it's pension debts, just add a zero to the end. Or if it's education results, just, you know, lower by 20%. It's sad stuff, but it's no fun. It'd be much more exciting to report good stuff, right? I mean, it'd be cool. And I think we will. At some point in Illinois, we'll be reporting, look at how we grew. We finally started attracting people again, and we attracted companies, and we cut our crime rates, and education looks better. You know, that's kind of the vision. But first, you know, I've always said you have to acknowledge, it's my beef with Pritzker, you can't fix a problem until you acknowledge that you have one. And that's the starting point.
He acknowledged that those toilets need to go. So why can't he acknowledge that's the other bad things that are happening in the state?
Because he threw his wife under the bus and put the jacket on her. But he will not risk the anger of black elected officials by calling out their policies, which hurt black people. He won't do it. Yeah. He'd rather people get hurt.
Well, Ted, I would point everybody to wirepoints.org to check out your latest on education for another eye opening. And I didn't mean to say you enjoy reporting bad news, Ted. I meant you enjoy just dissecting the numbers. You seem like a numbers guy. So I wanted to give you that. And everyone should also follow you on Twitter. That's a great spot to catch what's going on, and especially reaction to stuff that gets put out there that just doesn't make any sense or is an outright lie. So, Ted, thanks so much. We always love having you.
Well, Jeff and John, thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you, Carnival Barker.
Yeah, all right. Thank you. Step right up.
Step right up.
Hurry, hurry, step this way. The strangest sight from the island. Bricks from the four corners of the world. For two nickels, one dime, a tenth part of a dollar. We've got the show if you've got the dime. It's just starting. So hurry, hurry. Look them over, the lady without a head. There are thin ones. There are fat ones. They're all inside. Zip and Pip, the pinheaded people. A sample of the marvelous freaks you'll see for the price of a small thin dime. You get the whole show now if you hurry, hurry, hurry.
Or Ted Dabrowski of wirepoints.org and that great new report that's out now on education in Illinois. And for Jeff Carlin, who did himself no favor with the State Board of Education today, the future physics teacher, I hope he can pass the new test that they're going to throw at him when it's time for certification. And if anyone screws with Jeff, you got me as an enemy. And for me, John Cass, husband, father, Greek Orthodox Christian, editor-in-chief of johncassnews.com. And where are you? Where you've always been. On the No Trumbalone Zone, on the Chicago Way podcast, on WGN Plus.